Thank you, John and Jeanette. Okay, go with me to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's read a few verses here. We'll dwell mostly on one of the verses, but you remember verse 7? Remember this? For the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You remember that? And above all things, have fervent, passionate charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the grace, of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That, for this purpose, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That's the subject, that God may be glorified in all things, everything we do and say. Now, he said in verse 8, have fervent love among yourselves. Love glorifies our Lord. It glorifies his grace in us and his love that is shed abroad in it. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, he said. You have love one to another. We know we've passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. You see? That glorifies our Lord. We love our brethren as blood kin. And we truly are. Truly are. Love covereth. That glorifies God. Love covereth. Love forgiveth. Love forgetteth. Love hideth. Listen to this, this proverb. It says that it is the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. You know, God is slow to anger. And it says it is his glory to pass over a transgression. We're going to see God's greatest glory is forgiveness of sin, mercy and grace. So he tells us to do the same, that God would be glorified. This is for the glory of God. His glory is forgiving us. Well, we give him glory by doing the same. Okay? Love covereth, forgiveth. It glorifies God's grace for us to do so. It brings reproach if we don't. Reproach. Dishonors him. It brings his anger also. It says in verse 9, use hospitality one to another. How hospitable. The word hospitality means fond of guests. Fond of guests. Now our Lord is never our guest, because he owns everything. But we are his guests. He's fond of guests. Like Solomon, you know good and well the reason Solomon's table was so big is that anybody could come and eat there that wanted to. He was fond of guests. He had largeness of heart. Well, a greater than Solomon is here, our Lord. So he tells us, use hospitality. Be fond of guests. Love God's people and love being with them and entertain them. Some have entertained angels. Unawares. I've entertained angels and I was very aware of it. Love. Now everything that we have belongs to our Lord anyway, doesn't it? He's going to tell us as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's a steward? Well, a ship's steward or a steward on a train or wherever is one who's in charge of the goods and the services on board that ship to dole them out. It's not for him that he sees that they're given out and used where they're needed. We're good stewards of the grace of God. What do we have? We have not received grace. Grace. Now, everything we have is received. You know the story of the the man looking for the pearl of great price. And some of you have heard this, but it's a wonderful illustration. But this man wanted this pearl of great price, and the man, the proprietor, said, well, it'll cost you everything you have. And the man said, well, I got to have it. I want it. So he said, he reached in his wallet, and he opened his, and the man said, everything, it costs you everything. So he pulled out a wad of money, all that he had in his wallet, and he started to give it to him. He held back $5. And the man said, hold on, everything. He said, but I've got to have gas in my car to get home. The man said, you got a car? I'll take your keys. I told you, everything you have. The man said, okay, but how am I going to get to work? Oh, you have a job. But he said, how am I going to feed my family? Oh, you have a family. But they've got to have a place to live. Oh, you have a home. I told you, it'll cost you everything. So the man did. He gave him the keys to his car, keys to his house, gave him everything. He said, I got to have that pearl. All right? And then the man graciously and mercifully and wisely said, I'm going to give it all. I'm going to loan it all back to you. But remember, it's mine. It's mine. And I'm loaning it to you. Now, when one of my family, one of my children comes into town, you won't mind loaning them my car, will you? You won't mind putting them up in my house, will you? If they have some needs, you won't mind loaning them, or giving them, rather, some of my money, will you? And if I come to take one of my children, you won't mind, will you? They're mine. What do we have? We have not received. Job said that, didn't he? The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did the Lord do? Gave it all back. Gave it all back. With interest in. Use hospitality. How hospitable is our Lord? How generous is he? Oh, man. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, and it's more blessed. Didn't he say it's more blessed to give than to receive? It really is. You know, I've been in people's home and they thank me for coming. Well, thank you for having me. Because we're both blessed, aren't we? Who's more blessed? I tell you, we've had all these precious saints in our own. It's been a blessing. In the home that God loves. And he says this, without grudging. Do it without grudging. Verse 9. Do I have to? That's law, isn't it? Love giving. We'd never say that about our children or our sister or brother. Well, do I have to have them over? Do I have to have my children? I never think, oh, the grandkids are coming. And, you know, Hannah thanks me. Thank you for having them. Thank you. Thank you for letting them. Let me have them. You know, some people withhold their children and grandchildren from their grandparents. I know a man that his son hated him so much he never let him see his grandchildren. Just killed him. Without grudging. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, whatever gift it is, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Look at Romans 12. The same thing is written by Paul, because they both were taught by the same Lord. Romans 12, look at it with the very same things. Verse 4, Romans 12, 4. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, vitally joined together, having then gifts differing, different gifts according to the grace that's given to the measure, Paul said in another place, of Christ, the way he gives them out. And there are different gifts, you know, play the piano or sing or pray or give or serve or whatever it may be. And I never tire of telling this about Virgie Jones. She hemmed every pair of pants I owned. But she'd always say, "I don't do nothing. I don't do nothing," she said. She's in every service, wasn't she? Wasn't she? Every service. Boy, that did something for me. Ellen Fraylin. Oh, my. She was right there 30 minutes before every service. She wasn't 30 minutes early. She was late. Her car was the first in this parking lot. Oh, that did something for me. And every time she'd walk out of this building, she'd walk out that door. Oh, she'd say to me, "Now, that big smile of hers, Ellen," she'd say, "now that's the gospel." What's your wife's name? Irene says, "I needed that. That does me good. Just faithfulness. Just faithfulness. Just being here. Doesn't do you good." Whatever gift has been given, read on. It says in Romans 12, verse 7, ministry, or that's serving. Let's wait on our ministry. Let's wait on each other. He that teacheth on teaching, oh, we have some good. You care if I let everybody listen to that, Melanie? Oh, it was a blessing to me, her teaching those children. I wish you could hear my wife, or what she tells me that she teaches. Great blessing. He that exhorteth. Oh, exhortation. Most every one of you exhort me constantly, and it does me so much good. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Keep reading. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer, instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So, back to our text. Do it willingly, cheerfully, not grudgingly. Whatever the Lord's given you to do, even if it's just faithfully attending, do it as unto the Lord, for the glory that God in all things might be glorified. If any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's the word of God. Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth. Reprove, rebuke with all authority. He said, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. You know, we preach the word, don't we? I say we because it takes you and me both. Remember that fellow that called my dad one time, and he was up in West Virginia, a little small church, and Dad was on TV, and he thought, Mike, I guess he thought Dad preached, was a televangelist with a mega church, you know. But he called him and said, would you come preach for us here in West Virginia? We've got a little old church in the mountain. He said, how many people would it take for you to come preach here? Dad said, two. Me to preach and you to hear. Takes two to preach. Sounding, you're my sounding board. I'm doing for you what you would love to do, right? And you're doing for me what I need you to do. Sounding board. A face answered to face in the water, in the glass, in the word. Speak as the oracles of God, as the word of God. If you speak a word to anyone, let it be the word of God. And this is what we want, isn't it? To be able to recall God's word and say, thus saith the Lord. We don't want to, this is what I think, or this is what my preacher says, or this is what I do not. No, 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 no. We want to know, we want to say a word of God in season. The oracles of God. Any minister, let him do it as ability which God giveth. They're better preachers than me, but I'm giving it all to God. giving it all to God. But God in all things, verse 11, here it is. Here's where we're going. My dad used to say, let's camp here a while. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That God in all things might be glorified. All things do glorify God. Man can't, unregenerate man can't hear it, can't see it, doesn't acknowledge it, doesn't like it. God's glory. He's a fool. He said, there is no God. Man. That all things glorify God. And God's people clearly see His glory in all things. Psalm 19. You know this psalm. Go back there with me. Psalm 19. And Romans 1, you know, is the condemnation of mankind in general that has changed the glory of God and rejected the glory of God and worships and serves a creature rather than the Creator, who's God blessed, who's blessed forever, and professing themselves to be wise, they become utter fools. They don't see, though, the power of God, His eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, and they're without excuse. Yet, no. But Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork day unto day, every day, every single day, uttereth this speech. What speech? Glory to God. And night unto night showeth this knowledge of the Most High. There's no speech, there's no language where the voice of day and night is not heard. That says to everyone in every language, God is. God is glorious. God is great. God is our Creator. Everywhere. Everywhere. All things glorify God. The elements declare His glory, don't they? The sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the waves, the thunder, the lightning, the animals, flowers, trees, birds, and bees. All declare His glory, don't they? The birds, their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare our Maker's praise. We just sing that, didn't we? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have created all things. Without our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all through Christ. And it says, without Him was not anything made that was made. That proves Him to be God, doesn't it? The Creator. And it says here in our text, go back to 1 Peter, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. For of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. All things give glory to Jesus Christ. The elements do. The sky, Psalm 19, we didn't read it, but verse 4 says, He set a tabernacle for the sun. You know why God created everything? For His Son's glory. He didn't, before there were any creatures, before there were anything, angels or anything, God dwelt in glory. His Son dwelt in glory. The Spirit dwelt in glory. They had need of nothing. But God purposed to create a universe full of the elements and the creation of the earth and all that's in it. It's all for the glory of His Son, to declare His Son. Every single thing God has created declared the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what it's how it began. The elements of the sky is a tabernacle for the sun, a monument, or that is a place to display the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sky, the tabernacle, the moon is under His feet. He is the bright and morning star, isn't it? And He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the tree of life, and all these things declare. The clouds are the dust of His feet. Animals, He is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. Everything. The Spirit, I remind you, is called the wind. And He walketh on the wings of the wind, our Lord Jesus Christ. Plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Everything Creation declares His glory. Everything was created for His glory, that God through Jesus Christ might be glorified in all things. Glory. The word glory means honor. It means praise. It means worship. All glory belongs to our God. All praise, all honor, all worship belongs to our God, to His Christ, to His Son, and the Holy Spirit. No glory belongs to man. No glory. Zero. Why? Because what do we have? We have not received. If we received it, why would we glory as if we had not received? But that's what men do. But the scripture says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man in his might. Let not anyone glory in anything, because everything we have is by the grace of God. Everything we know, everything we can do. And yet, man, everything man does, and it, nothing, not one single thing done by man may be said to be glorious. Can you think of one single thing done by man that you could say that's glorious? No. Nothing made, nothing done by man comes even close to the glory of God. Nothing man made. Man sought out many inventions of Scripture. Not one of them is better than what God has done. Nothing. It always ends up that we come right back around to agreeing that God did it right. God did it best. God made it better. Nothing that man has made, nothing that man has done, there's no building, no edifice, nothing man has built compares to one mountain built by God. No artwork comes even close to God's canvas. Not even close. No music. You know, there's this artist, Thomas Kincaid, and he claims to be a believer, but I don't think he'd let himself be called the painter of light if he was. They call him the painter of light. You can't paint light. Try it. Try to paint the sun. It's not even close. You can look at that picture all day long. You glance at the sun, it'll blind you. Light. A light bulb's lighter than his picture. I hate these designations that glorify man. I hate it. Anybody who loves God's glory hates man getting any glory. No music compares to the music in the wind and the waves and the trees and the birds. The seraph song, we haven't heard that yet. I like to think about David. You know David, you know, Jeanette, you played so skillfully, and Robin does too. And I've heard some musicians that just, you know, boggle my mind. But David, I have to think that David must have been some harpist. I bet he sang beautifully. Don't you imagine? Can't you think that David must have been he's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. Why? Because he is such a type of Christ. Now try to imagine. They said, no man spake like this man. His enemies came to get him, and they were mesmerized. They were spellbound. They came to get him, to apprehend him. They ended up sitting down. No man spake like this man. Well, surely no man sang like this man. No, nothing man has ever done, nothing man has ever made compares to the glory of God. No poetry, no prose, no book, no story comes even anywhere close to the greatest book ever written. The only book. That's why it's called the book. The Bible. Oh, there are no books, really, compared to it. The wisdom of it. The mystery of it. The power of it. God's Word. The beauty of it. The glory of it. Everything. This is why God hates pride. Young people, God hates it. He knows how to bring down pride. He that walketh in pride will be abased. You can count on it. It's going to happen. You've got to come down. Everything man has ever made, this is why everything man has ever made is coming down. There's not one stone going to be left standing on it. All the works of man will be burned up. Why? Man's glory. I learned this verse in Isaiah years ago. It's always stuck with me. The Lord of hosts had purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. And that which is highly esteemed among men is what? An abomination to God. Oh, humble yourselves in the sight of God. We ought to be. We've got nothing to glory in. Now, His greatest glory. And all that glorious to you, God's creation, it pales comparison compared to His greatest glory. Exodus 33. You know where we're going. Exodus 33. What is God's greatest glory? God's people know. Salvation. Salvation. Salvation of our souls. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It's His to do, His to give, and for His glory. Moses, after he'd seen all that he'd seen, the Red Sea parted and so many other things, Moses said in Exodus 33, verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me your person. The glory of your person. Your mind, your will. And here's what God said. Exodus 33, 19. I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. There it is. There's the glory of God. His goodness, His grace, and His mercy. Now, where is that saying? He said in verse 20, thou canst not see my face. No man shall see me and live. But hold on. John, we have, haven't we? We've seen the glory of God, where? In the face of Christ Jesus. And even our Lord said, he that seeth the Son and believeth on Him, seeth what? His glory. And believeth on the Son. He says, I'll have the everlasting life and I'll raise him up at the last day. Chapter 34, he said, I'll make my goodness pass before you and proclaim my name. Verse 6, the Lord passed by before him. This is Christ. And proclaimed the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and mercy, keeping truth and keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Oh, he'll by no means clear the guilty. But that's why Christ was made guilty for His people, made sin. This is the glory of God. This is His greatest glory. That God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified is God's greatest glory. On the cross is seen all the attributes of God, all the glory of God. This is why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. All the attributes of God, His holiness is seen at Calvary. Man doesn't know, doesn't believe, doesn't see the holiness of God. Where can you see it most clearly? At Calvary. God says, I will by no means clear the guilty. When He made His own Son to be sin for us, He didn't clear Him. He spared Him not, didn't He? The wrath of God, holiness of God, the justice of God, the love of God. Nowhere is the love of God seen more clearly than God making His Son, delivering His Son up that we might be delivered. Oh, behold, what manner of love the Father. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, gave His Son to be a propitiation. A sacrifice, a substitute. I've said so many times that I would not substitute my only daughter for me. But God did. Who for? It's the glory of man to forgive. The glory of our God seen most clearly. His mercy. His mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Well, we're shown mercy. Why? For Christ's sake. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. What do we get? We get His righteousness. He wove this robe of righteousness to cover our naked souls. And He stripped Himself. Those soldiers didn't strip Him. God did. Stripped Him of that robe, an unseen robe, and put it on His naked people to cover them. That's the glory of God. They're seeing the greatest glory of God. Go back to our text. It says in 1 Peter 4, it says that God in all things might be glorified. Now, he's been talking about doing whatever we do for the glory of God. That God in all things might be glorified. Everything Christ did was for God's glory. He lived a life that was glorious, that glorified God. He delighted to do His will. This is the will of God, even our sanctification, that we be made like Christ. That God in all things might be glorified in everything. Now here, you know this. But you can tell the truth of a doctrine by who gets all the glory, can't you? Can't you? You can test every doctrine by this test. Who gets the glory? Such as the doctrine of election. Who gets the glory? Man, God choosing man, or man choosing God? Well, that's clear, isn't it? Oh, whose decision? Whose will? Who gets the glory? Man's will? Man deciding for God? Or God deciding for man? Who gets the glory? Anybody can know that. God's people love it. You see, God's people love His glory, don't they? Let such as love thy salvation say, the Lord be magnified, the Lord be glorified. God's people love His glory, don't they? You love to hear this? Do you hate anybody stealing His glory? You know that His name, He calls Himself jealous many times. 7 or 8 times through the Scripture, God says, my name is jealous, meaning I will not give my glory to another. I will not. And every doctrine can be judged by this test. Who gets all the glory? God must get all the glory, not some of it, all of it. That's how you know the truth of the doctrine. And that's how you know the true people of God. They love His glory, and they will not share it. They won't steal it. That in all things, He said here, in all things, let me just touch on this a little bit. In all things, God may be glorified. It even says whether we eat or drink. Do we grudgingly give thanks to God for the food that we eat and drink? Oh, no. We're all, you know, Kelly, I know you're this way. Tom, whoever leads in prayer, you ladies. You don't feel comfortable praying at the table, do you? Who does? But it's not grudgingly. It's thankfully. Aren't you thankful we give thanks? The whole world takes everything for granted. Doesn't God give God thanks? That's what it says in Romans 1. They weren't thankful. And they've taken, robbed Him of His glory. Just thanks. Thanks glorifies God. Thank you. Give us. Forgive us. Thank you. Eating or drinking, whether we eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Dress in the house of worship. I'm still very, very insistent on it. I feel very strongly about it. That we should prepare ourselves, mind, body, and soul, to worship our Lord. Why do I dress like I did? For you? In reverence, in respect, in honor, considering who it is that I serve, and dignity to our God. That's why every service, Sunday and Wednesday. And I believe everyone should. Whether we eat, drink, dress, what we do in this place, sing, the songs we sing need to glorify our God. Our prayers, the preaching, our attitude. We can glorify God in our attitude, can't we? Being thankful, being submissive, being humble, being quiet. The thing that marks this generation more than anything else is talk. Much talk. Loud and proud. Mm-hmm. The thing that marks God's people is quiet and humble. God is in heaven. You're on earth. Let your words be few. Oh my. The way we talk, let our words, our speech be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, thankful, our attitude, our speech, the way we use His name, the way we conduct ourselves in and outside the house of God, that God in all things might be glorified. Everybody, the world, most of the world, blasphemes God, curses God. Let us be thankful. Let us be glorify Him. And it ends this way. To whom be praise, thanksgiving, praise, adoration, worship, and dominion. He owns it all. He reigns over it all forever and ever. And what do the saints say to that?
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.